So a very warm welcome to our reflections for this Sunday. I'm very much hoping that you will take time later today or in the week to look at the activity sheets attached to the service. One is the Lord's Prayer in a few other languages. Some surprises there. Perhaps you can work out what they all are. And I hope some smiles too. But it's the second one that you can enjoy on your own if you live alone. There's no one to feel embarrassed in front of. Or with others in your household, a way of approaching the Lord's Prayer, of enjoying the Lord's Prayer, even of learning the Lord's Prayer in actions. But this one also has, at the bottom of it, some teaching points for your reflection, if you find them helpful. Once again, this is such a well-known scripture and prayer that many might wonder if there is anything here to learn, anything to find nourishment for today or for this week. Well, it is my prayer that we do, indeed, for such is the promise of God to feed us and to refresh us. So I'd like to begin with perhaps the very obvious fact that there are at least three versions of the Lord's Prayer for us. Matthew 6, which is the longer, the fuller version, and the one we listen to in today's Gospel reading. And then there's Luke 11, which is very much shorter, missing some of the elements in Matthew. And then finally, there's the liturgical version that we use in our worship that's been added to in order to make it into a liturgical prayer. And it's only here that you will find that splendid, "For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever." And indeed, it's only here that you will find the Amen. Matthew 6 and Luke 11 are significantly different in more than just content. Now, I chose the Matthew to read because it is longer and it is closer to what we know and use and love in our liturgy. But its context is that it comes smack in the middle, literally, of a huge block of teaching known as the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6 and 7. And so it nestles among teaching on anger and adultery, teaching on almsgiving and fasting, on worrying and searching, on the teaching of the Golden Rule and the Beatitudes, and so on. And if you go back in your own time to that passage in prayer and the teaching on it, it offers more on how not to do it. So the phrase "do not be like" is used there three times. It's a prayer, therefore, here in the Matthew version, of contrasts. So don't be this, but be that. Don't do this, but do that. Don't say or speak like these people, and on it goes. However, she says emphatically, Luke 11 is my main focus today, because here we get a glimpse into the root of the prayer. The disciples see Jesus pray and respond with, "Lord, teach us to pray." And his reply, without the warnings and the teacher's voice of Matthew 6, "When you pray, say, Father," and into the prayer he goes. A conversation about prayer, no agenda other than from the heart. And how many of us have not at points in life wished our prayers were better, whatever better might mean for you or for me? So we have a simplicity here in this briefest version of the Our Father. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to a time of trial. That's it. It's worth having the two side by side if you're interested. Simplicity. But it's all there. Jesus does go into teaching mode after that and follows up with extension work for the more able of his pupils on perseverance and persistence in prayer. I will leave for another day the drawing out of this brief prayer something about language and what it does to add to or change meaning, but it needs a Sunday all for itself, really. I do want to add one more piece here. I'm still in pursuit, wanting us to get into the heart and mind and motivation that gave birth to this prayer in Luke 11, because there is something for us. What was Jesus doing immediately before he was caught at prayer, as recorded in Luke 11? What was he doing in the chapter or two before that? In chapter 10 of Luke, we have a parable, that of the Good Samaritan, and we also have a visit to his good friends, Mary and Martha. And before both of those, Jesus appoints followers to go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And then he appoints 70 more to go out in pairs to join them in this task. Now, just to put into brackets that 70 is a symbolic number, so ignore it if it's not of interest to you, but made up of 7, which is the number meaning perfection, and 10, which is the number meaning completeness. So we have in the combination of those two numbers, the perfect spiritual order. So there is here the beginnings of mission, as these few and then the 70 are appointed to go and proclaim the kingdom of God. People have followed Jesus and listened to his teaching. They have watched his miracles. They have watched and learnt. And now it's their turn. There was a trial run, if you like, of just the 12 having a go in the chapter before. But this is the big push. Jesus appoints and commissions, and then he goes into prayer. And the parable is not a distraction from that. It adds something to this link between commission for mission and the need to pray. As does the Mary-Martha conversation about chores versus church. Now, so many people pray, perhaps many of us turn to prayer when there's a crisis. A sick family member, a job lost, a marital crisis, a difficult neighbour, a virus. But the Our Father was born not of crisis, but of mission. Equipping for mission, resourcing during mission, perspective during mission, being prepared for mission. So really, I've taken a long, circuitous route to saying that when we say the Lord's Prayer daily, or in our Sunday worship, possibly with others, it is the answer to a question. Imagine Jesus looking at you personally and asking this question aloud or in the stillness of you in his mind. Now, Jackie. Now, Christopher, Godwin, Stephen, Becca. Now, Edith, Caitlin. Now, Ben and Nathan and Amelia. Now then, Howard, Kingston, Alison, Tim, what do you need to go into the week, into mission in whatever places and among whatever people you will find yourselves? What do you need? And in answering that question he poses himself, he gives you this prayer. Not because there's a crisis, but because we can't be his people in the world without his help. Or at least we don't do it very well. So he gives us this simple and briefest of versions of the Our Father. So as you go into a new week, use this version in Luke 11. and be equipped for whatever it is that is your mission in these coming days. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to a time of trial. Use this, be equipped and resourced for the workplace, for life, and be blessed. Amen.